Being a dad is hands down the most important role. There are some really challenging things that comes along with it, but it's the most rewarding and the most important role we have. And so the feedback I get so much from people when they use this product is that it helps to helps them to be more engaged with their family.
We know that building wealth comes from owning businesses and making investments. Yet why still do nearly half of businesses fail in the first 5 years, and why do others lose it all in their investments?
Welcome to the Wealth Watchers Podcast, your resource for building a massive net worth. We bring real stories from real people who are experts in business and investing, who will share secrets and actionable strategies to amassing wealth and achieving success. Brought to you by Happy Camper Capital. And now, your hosts, Justin Hoggett and Adam Lendy.
Welcome back to the Wealth Watchers Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lendy. With me, as always, is my co-host, Justin Hoggett. Justin, how are you today?
Hey, doing great, Adam. You know, happy holidays. I cannot believe it's like, I mean, what are we, 5 days away when we're doing this recording, December 20th. And then, of course, you know, we've talked about it before, the weather in Colorado has been like summer-like. I mean, it's just been so hot and sunny that it doesn't seem like the holidays. But here we are, and I'm so excited. Going to see some family and more friends. And of course the kids are so excited. So it's a happy time of year.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe Christmas is already here this week. And you know, it's funny, you're talking about the snow. We broke that streak we had going. We almost had, it was going to be the longest streak ever recorded without snow. We ended up missing it, and we're a 90-year record now.
Yeah. The interesting facts of Denver.
No kidding. All right. Well, let's bring on our guest today. Our guest is the founder of the Legacy Journal app, Ken Wimberly. Ken, how are you today?
I am awesome. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks for being on with us.
I appreciate you having me. It's interesting you talk about the warm weather. It's cold today in Texas. I'm in Fort Worth, Texas. However, for Christmas, it's going to be 81 degrees.
No, yeah. Okay. So no snow for you guys.
Doesn't look like it this year. It's not in the cards.
And what is cold, like 75?
No, it was 40, 41 degrees and raining when I went to do my workout this morning.
All right.
Well, we could take the rain out our way. We've been a little dry here in the Denver area anyhow. Although we're supposed to be mid-50s on Christmas, so that's a win for us.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right, Ken. Well, we'd like to get to know you better and, of course, what it is you do. I think it's important to start with the story. So if you could kind of bring us up to speed on who you are. You know, what, how you founded your business and why does you do what you do?
Yeah. So, okay. So it started way back when I say my entrepreneurial journey started shortly after college. And to put that in perspective, I'm 50 now. I'll be 51 in June. Shortly after college, I started a pizza restaurant and launched that, thought I was going to, you know, build the next Domino's franchise, you know, big, I was going to open up 5 units of this place, licensed it to a group that owned a family owned restaurant when I was in college. So licensed that, and, you know, we were going to open up 5 units, help them franchise and grow the next big thing. And boy, I got my ass handed to me in that venture. So what I learned a lot today, I have tons of mentors in my life. I have advisors, mentors, I seek guidance. I have networking groups I'm a part of. Back then I didn't. It was just me and my buddy from the Navy that branched out to do this. And we figured out, we got it. We got this all under control. And 18 months later, we filed bankruptcy. So it was a great learning experience, but a miserable experience to go through and to let people down. But you know, I look back and there was a great deal that we took out of that in hindsight that have been able to kind of roll into future businesses right there. So after that endeavor, stayed in the restaurant business for about a year, and then eventually got out in late 2002 and entered the real estate business. So got in and started as a commercial real estate broker, mostly in the land business for the first 5 or 6 years of my real estate career. I was a land broker. Ended up working with a bunch of residential developers. So I'd go find 50, 100, 200 acres for them. They would land plan it, entitle it, chop it up, sell it to home builders. And then often there would be commercial out parcels, and I'd help them sell those, and built a lot of relationships through that process. And then eventually started doing some investments. I was just looking at land all the time. So I started recognizing value and seeing where opportunity might be. So we did a handful of land investments, and then went through the 2008 crisis and crash and all that fun, and survived through that. Actually still did okay, and ended up just kind of retooling what we were focused on. Because I assure you, the one business that died for a while out of that was the land business. There were no land transactions happening for a while. So retooled that, ended up creating a net lease brokerage team, scaled that up, became the largest net lease brokerage in the KW ecosphere. Keller Williams, we joined up with KW in 2009 and built that big business. And through that, it led to franchise ownership, opened up a Keller Williams franchise. There it was more investments. And then about 3 years ago, really kind of transitioned into the two primary businesses I'm in right now. One is we got in the laundromat business. And that was the solution to a real estate problem. We were buying a shopping center, needed a tenant, couldn't find a tenant for this particular deal, and ended up discovering the laundromat industry. There was no operator that I could find from the people I was talking to. So my partner and I connected with another guy we'd wanted to get in business to with a long time. And now we've created a chain of laundromats called Laundry Love, L-U-V. And so we opened up our first Laundry Love. And about that same time, I started developing where I spend most of my time today, which is the Legacy Journal app. And that was just an offshoot from my own journey as a father in journaling and capturing the stories of my children's lives over the years, and needed a place to house all that. I had it in all these disparate different places, and I wanted to gift all of that to my daughter when she graduated high school, and, which just happened, by the way. So it was a beautiful moment. I was able to gift that to her 6 months ago. But I was like, I need a place to house all of this. And there was nothing that I found on the market that did what I wanted to do. So we went out and created the Legacy Journal app. And so that's kind of the short version of a long story.
That's awesome. There's a lot going on, it sounds like.
A little bit.
Now, are you still involved in brokerage, or did you hang that up when you started the laundromat?
Not much on the brokerage side. We do a little bit. I've got a handful, from 20 years, some really, really good clients. So we do a handful of deals, but I've got a partner that handles the vast majority of the legwork on that. I just don't have the bandwidth to do a lot of the in and outs of it. But I've got a great partner that handles most of that when we do brokerage. It's mainly just from a handful of clients these days.
Right. And now, obviously, you were looking to fill a unit and ended up in the laundromat business. What made you pursue that?
I was at a real estate conference and met a guy that I thought was a laundromat operator right there. He had all this laundromat stuff up there. And I started talking to him about it. I said, hey, I've got this, I've got 20,000 square foot vacancy in this 50,000 square foot building. And was sharing with him the location. He ran his analytics on it and got back to me a couple weeks later. He said, man, you have the perfect laundromat location. I was like, okay, why so? So we started digging into that. And I thought he was an operator, or I thought he was like a tenant himself. And so I was like, great, well, come on in and move into the center. And he wanted a 10-year lease with options, and he was willing to pay $15 a square foot. And our rent was like $4. So I was like, this is going to be beautiful. So come on in. And what I realized through this process was he was actually a manufacturer's rep. He was working for the equipment manufacturers. And so, but he started sharing with me all the details of the laundromat industry. And it was a slow process. It took about a year for us to really get into it, because we did a lot of due diligence. We went to a couple of the conferences. We went to several meetups with these laundromat. We talked to other operators to really kind of dive in to the economics and the potential of that industry. And we liked what we saw. So three of us ended up starting what's now Laundry Love.
And how many locations did you say you had on that?
First one opened 2 years ago. Second one opens in about 30 days. Our third one will start construction immediately following that. And our fourth construction immediately following that. So we'll have four by year end.
That's fantastic. Now, what did you learn from your first attempt to franchise out in the pizza world that you carried over into the laundromat world?
A lot was on the upfront due diligence and the homework. And the other is a big component of that was having the right partners. Like, I was partners with a good friend of mine in the pizza restaurant, but he didn't know anything about that business and he didn't have a particular skill set for that. It was just, he was my buddy. I was like, hey, let's do this together. Let's go start something. And now I've got two amazing partners. One, guy actually lives out in your neck of the woods right there. He is a real estate focused rehab redeveloper, understands construction management, understands that really, really well. The other is our operator. He's a West Point grad, multiple tour Afghanistan vet who came back, got his MBA and ran all of the divisional arms of Keller Williams. Other than the main residential real estate arm, he ran all of the little subset divisions of that, which is how I met him years ago. And he's been just an incredible operations partner. And so I think it's one of the greatest learnings for me was getting in business with the right people and doing a lot of upfront homework.
Fantastic. Now, shifting gears a little bit, of course, tell us about the Legacy Journal app and what that is.
Yeah. So again, that came from as a solution to a problem I had, which was I had been collecting these stories for my children. Started with my daughter when she was just 10 months old. And I was just about once a month, I would just write down a little story about what was happening in our lives, what it was like to be a dad and a new dad and hold her and grow with her. And over the years, I kept a rhythm about once each month, I would write a story for each one of my children. And I started sharing that with more and more parents over the years. And I was like, man, look, I've been doing this thing. It's meant a lot to me. And then a lot of them started doing the same thing for their kids. And it was so cool because they would like send me pictures of their journal entries, whether it was like in a actual physical notebook or in some digital format, they'd send me pictures of what they were doing. And as time went by, people were like, hey, Ken, you should create something because like I got stuff here and I got stuff here. What should I do? Create something. And I had zero bandwidth to do any of that. I was building the real estate business. I was surviving the crash and then building the real estate business. And I had no bandwidth. And when it finally freed up and I had the opportunity to take the time, I assumed this problem had already been solved. And so I went out just find what would work for me and go find it. And it wasn't there. So I had through all this encouragement of other people to go build something. The straw that broke the camel's back there was I had the opportunity to meet Jeff Hoffman. Are you familiar with who he is? He was the founder of Priceline.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he's a fascinating entrepreneur, multi-billionaire, and just a saint of a man. Anyway, I had the opportunity to have a private mastermind with him. And in a little one-on-one setting, I kind of pitched him the idea for Legacy Journal. I said, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? What do you think about this idea? And he's like, well, yeah, you actually should go do that. That sounds like a pretty good idea. So I was like, if the billionaires told me to go do it, we should probably go try it out. So then we started in earnest and had to go learn how to create a wireframe and do a mock-up. And I've learned so much over the last 3 years. If I were to do it again, we'd do a few things differently, of course. However, you kind of figured it out, went and hired a development team and got a beta version of the app out, started testing that, got our first 1,000 users of it and started doing more testing, then revamped it and continued to grow. So now we've got like a really beautiful, slick app that we've got thousands of people using and amazing feedback on that's really starting to take off. So we're, it's now been featured on, a dozen different news stations, and it's really neat to see my baby start to grow because this is, for me, we mentioned the word legacy earlier. This is, I think, one of the big components of my legacy and the way I can help, hundreds of thousands or even millions of people around the world.
What makes this solution unique?
So there's a lot of journaling platforms out there. You can go find all kinds of different journaling platforms, but those are, I will call them internal, right? You're journaling. And it's really one to you. It's journaling for yourself. This is a one to many type journaling. So, you can journal to, multiple children, two and four multiple children. You can invite scribers or other people into it. So you could invite your wife to come into the account and journal. You could invite grandparents. You could invite a favorite teacher to come in and write a story about this. So, you've got a one-to-many that you can set up as many children as you have right there, and then you can invite other scribers into it to work as well. And then you can include all kinds of multimedia. So you get photos, videos, audio files, even saved voicemails. I've got some of the sweetest little voicemails that my kids have left me over the years that are saved into their legacy journal right there. And then audio, a customer actually suggested this to me. She's like, I want to start doing more audio so that my grandchildren will hear my voice that, I might not meet my great grandchildren or grandchildren. And I thought that is beautiful because you know, I created the app and I've left zero audio in there for my own children. So I think, you know, one of my commitments was that I think once a month, I want to just start leaving an audio message about some of the friends or mentors or influences of my life so that they can listen to that one day when I'm gone.
Yeah. Now, obviously, this is important to you. Why is it important for you to leave this legacy behind for your kids, and obviously which spawned this project, you know, to create this tool for other people?
Being a dad is hands down the most important role of my life, and it's the most challenging thing, certainly having now raised two teenagers. There are some really challenging things that comes along with it, but it's the most rewarding and the most important role we have. And so the feedback I get so much from people when they use this product is that it helps to helps them to be more engaged with their family. It's like, they're like, Ken, just the process of slowing down, writing down a story of what's going on in our lives is helping me to be more engaged. And so that's my way of giving back and helping dads to be better dads or moms to be more engaged moms with their families, and just to slow down and kind of create that family history. So, you know, that is, I don't know how many ways that I can impact a mass number of people, but this is one of those ways that it's really showing up already in my life.
Right. You know, I think about, especially us as entrepreneurs, I mean, we spend so much time in our business, and we also want to have this impact on our kids. I think it's something that we all take a lot of pride in, is we want them to, you know, take the path that is going to lead them to the most reward, and, you know, impart as much wisdom as we can. And we're also really good at not setting aside the time to do that, you know.
How old are your kids?
For me, 10 and 7.
Okay. And Justin?
9 and 11.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
I've always said that, at least my experience has been that from like age 0 to 3 is hard. I mean, it's tough. But you know, if you're out there thinking about having a kid and someone's like, oh, it's so great. Yeah, it is great. But I'm going to tell you, 0 to 3 is hard in my experience of 3 kids. However, once they reach 4, they can start doing so much on their own, right? They can start to bathe themselves and put their clothes on and communicate really well. And so from 4 to about 12, it's magical right there. It's such a cool time, and they're learning so much, and they love you, and they want the knowledge and your experience. They want to learn from you. And, you know, then you hit kind of preteen and teen years, it gets a little wonky for a while, but it gets better on the other side.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things you mentioned is you know, why and having, you know, the wherewithal to be a parent, to appreciate all those young years. And I know that, I mean, even like, as you say, the preteen, it's coming up, she's 11, and you can, like, some days she's already that and some days she's not. So, you know, it's coming, it's right around the corner
for sure.
And, you know, and we call it the dummy years, you know, to her, but, you know, I guess it's interesting, you know, that you get to this point, and you'd mentioned in your questionnaire, you know, I wish I would have done that when my children are younger. And there's a lot of things that I have done with my kids that I truly appreciate and can relish forever. But at the same time, it goes so fast that you're like, did I do everything right? Like, did I spend the time I should have? And I don't know. I mean, it's one of those, I mean, is it a regret? I don't know. But it's also the realization that time is all you have, and you got to really appreciate it and utilize it with your loved one as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, okay. Didn't I hear that you spent a year in an RV on the road with your family?
I did.
Okay. So I think, at least in my mind, I'm saying that this guy is pouring in and doing some of these things. So, you know, I think
you try and then you try some more, and, you know, it's like, are you trying hard enough? I don't know. But, you know, you get involved in the businesses and the entrepreneurial aspects of things, and then you work until 10 or whatever. And then, you know, of course time flies by as well, but yeah, I mean, my wife brought up a question of, you know, we've been working really hard. Should we do this, you know, go on the road for a year? And it was a tough question from her to me, and not knowing the answer, and kind of, should I invest in this idea? And when that question came up, it was It was almost a no-brainer. It was like, absolutely.
Yes. I think that's beautiful. I'm going to share with you an idea. You've got all and all, you're coming up on 12. I heard the most beautiful idea not long ago, and I've implemented it in some ways with my older kids, but who are now 19 and almost 18. But the idea was at your child's 12th year to put in front of them 12 mentors over 12 months. So a mentor a month that you're able to kind of insert into their lives that has just different parts of life that you want to impart on them, or wisdom. And I thought that is such a great idea, because one of the greatest things we can do as parents is put the right influences in front of our children as often as possible. And I thought, wow, this idea of 12 mentors in 12 months is such a great idea. Obviously, it doesn't have to be at age 12, but that was where this idea came from, was at the age of 12 right there. But, you know, take that for what it's worth. It's a great way to insert some positive reinforcement in your child's life.
I wrote that down. I'm stealing that already. even though I've got 2 years until that happens, I could make something happen sooner. You know, and maybe I'm getting a little off on this, but, you know, we talk about like that impact we want to have on the kids. And of course, with the time that we have. And, you know, and we're always modeling for our kids. You know, they're always watching what we're doing, and they're going to learn from it. You know, I grew up in a household where my dad ran a business, and, you know, his schedule was 3 a.m. to midnight some days. You know, he always worked, never saw the guy. Always told me about how horrible business ownership was and how he wanted me to go to college and get a good job so I didn't have to do that. And, you know, here I am, a business owner today, you know, realizing that I need to model what success looks like for my kids, you know. So we had powwow this weekend and went out, and, you know, I was teaching them about good mindset and affirmations. And, you know, it's just always want to be a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, it always comes back to that legacy you're leaving. You know, what mark are you leaving on them that they can carry forward to the next generation?
Well, let me tell you one thing I've done for my kids. It parlays exactly into what you're talking about. I'll say a couple things. Number one, let me talk first about one of the benefits of this whole COVID weirdness that has us all figuring out how to work remotely is that our kids get to see us in model real time, see us working, see us making deals, see us succeeding. And so I think that's really important, just that they can see the realness of it right there. Well, along with that, one of the things that's really been cool is my almost 18-year-old son, he'll be graduating high school in May or June, now wants to go pursue a career in real estate development. I mean, how cool is that? Like, so he's seen me for all these years be in real estate, had no interest whatsoever, didn't even want to talk about it as he's growing up, but he was with me. He would hear me negotiating, hear me making deals, and all of a sudden about a year ago, he says, he's super technically skilled, so I've been pushing him to get like a high-tech kind of path right there, because I think there's so much opportunity in it. But he tells me about a year ago, he's like, "Dad, I think I want to get into real estate." I'm like, "Really?" So the same thing these 12 mentors do. I've been introducing him to developers, introducing him to engineers, introducing him to people I know, so that he can go visit with these people, learn more about the business right now. So I think, you know, one of that parts of the legacy is just being the best influence I can and positive example I can to them. And so showing them a path and a role as a positive example. Other thing I stole from someone else that I thought was beautiful, please steal this, which was to pay my children to read. And it's not just to read anything, but it's to pay my children to read a selection of books that I choose. And so when the kids were 12, 13 years old, I said, "Here's the deal. I'm gonna make you an offer. You can earn $500. And that's a lot of money when you're 12, 1300, right?
Yeah.
Or 12 or 13 years old. You can earn $500. And here's how you're gonna earn it. It's $50 for the first book, or maybe it was $25 for the first book, $50. It was a graduating scale, but it was the least amount for the first book and the most amount if you read all five, right? So you got up to, I think it started at 50 and you end up $150. So you can make a total of $500. But the books were like The Miracle Morning. You were talking about affirmations. So it was The Miracle Morning. It was Think and Grow Rich. It was, what was one of the other? I mean, I had some pretty deep books on there, and they read them. Both kids read all five books right there. And then, so I continued that for several years. I would just, I ended up starting to open it up. I'd choose 10 or 15, and they could choose any of the books from that list right there. But it would be anything from books on, you know, mental acuity, mental awareness, personal development. It was, there's a lot on mindset and personal development, then on business. Like Knox read Ray Dalio's Principles at 14.
Wow.
At 14. And so I'm like, I think that is a huge thing that we can do as parents is to put those kind of things in front of our children, at least, you know, make it available to them and maybe a little incentive for them to expand their minds.
Yeah, they do get involved in that when I have them on Audible in the car and, you know, I've had them, you know, in same books as you're talking about, the mindset and, you know, and they go, wait, do I have to get out of the car now? You know, like, hold on, I was listening to that or, you know, and so, you know, I think that's a great lesson is that they will read it. They are interested in it, but it's just not the typical books put in front of them from the schoolhouse, you know, so I love it.
Not to mention that $500 investment is probably worth a couple semesters of college. I mean, what you'd spend on that, easy.
100%. And it just gets them interested so that they'll continue this process on their own. And so I've shared that with a lot of people. Like I said, I stole that idea from someone else and I encourage people to employ it at their will.
Right. That's one thing. I mean, and I'm not going to get into a divisive topic on this, but I will say that I do think the school system isn't preparing our kids to have a positive mindset. They aren't preparing them to be growth minded. And that's where we need to step in and take control of that. So well done.
I'm so grateful for my experience in a couple of mastermind groups. I've been a part of GoBundance for a lot of years and a part of Front Row Dads. And I've learned so much from the group of guys, right? It's all growth-minded people right there that are expanding right there. I've learned so much about, you know, how to teach my children about that, about growth, about, you know, shaping their own reality and not letting the world shape their reality. So I think that the onus is on us to do that. It's not up to the school system. And if we leave it up to the school system, we're in trouble.
Very much agree with that, Ken. What's the mission of the Legacy Journal app?
Yeah, we're to help parents and children, grandparents connect more deeply. I mean, that's ultimately it. It's a mission of connection because I know as parents slow down to write these stories, to kind of look over and slow down and just remember what they're doing, it is ultimately to help them connect more deeply. And then we've got a vision, you know, to impact millions of people around the world through this. And yeah, today we're at you know, thousands and tens of thousands. And ultimately where our vision is to get to millions around the world.
Yeah. Something I want to kind of commend and just, you know, just, I heard it in your talking as you went, you know, of course you mentioned your commercial real estate brokerage, you know, you've let somebody else run that, you know, you found somebody to get into the laundromat business. You found somebody to help you develop this app. You know, and you're focusing on running the things that are the best use of your time. I mean, it reminds me a lot of Who Not How. I don't know if you've read that one or not. However,
yep.
It sounds like you found the right people to focus your energy at the right steps along the way. And you know, we go back to modeling for the kids, and you know what they see is they don't see dad fried, you know, from burning at both ends, which is probably why you've got one who wants to be a commercial real estate developer now. Is that fair to say?
Okay. Sometimes people hear the podcast and they get the highlight reel. So let me drop a little bit of reality into that too. So and yeah, I always want to be really transparent with you because one thing Jeff Hoffman said to me that I wish I had implemented more in my life right there was that when he did a business, he would go all in 100% into the one venture and he would be in that until he exited. And so that was his, well, he didn't kind of keep things going on. He would be all in until an exit. He would plan the exit and then he would exit, take some time off until he got all in on his next thing. And I think, you know what, that there's some beauty to that. Well, I was already in three different businesses at the time when I heard that. Now I've gotten into some more right there. But I think there's a lot to be said for his mentality of all into an exit. To your point, getting the right who can help you be into a number of ventures. So in like our Keller Williams franchise, I've got just a wonderful partner in that runs everything. She is amazing. And it's allowed me to have a nice, you know, passive income stream from that today. Now it took years of me being in that actively running it to get her up to speed and her in place. But now that's become a great passive source of income. But I mean, honestly, with the real estate side, yep, I've got a great partner in there. But you know, with our laundromat company, it's still a startup. You know, we've got one unit, we've got three that we're building this year. It actually does require a fair amount of my mental bandwidth, and the app company requires a ton of my mental bandwidth. And then we've just other, you know, investments we're making, we're buying a ranch, we're doing a lot. So I feel like I am burning the candle at both ends a little bit on this for full transparency. And it's a season, right? And so I do get that too. And it's a season.
Right. Fantastic. Well, Ken, if somebody, obviously, if this resonated with somebody, they want to learn more about your app, they want to connect with you, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, love that. To learn more about the app, our website is legacyjournal.app. So legacyjournal.app, and we are on the Apple App Store, and we're on Google Play Store as well. You can find us at either place, and it's fully functioning, really, really sleek deal right there. You can find me. I'm on social channels. You can certainly see me. I will occasionally post on there. I'm not a frequent on social, but I am on Facebook, Instagram, and really those are the two primaries, probably Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. On those right there, they can find me, DM me there, or you can send me an email at ken@legacyjournal.app. And a number of people shoot me messages, and I'm always happy to, frankly, I love hearing people from people. So wanted to connect with me, especially around any of these topics we're talking about. Shoot me a message. Love to connect.
All right. Perfect, Ken. Well, thank you so much. Before we let you go, I'm going to turn it over to Justin for the Wealth Watchers Brain Pick.
All right, Ken, we got five quick questions for you. Of course, you can elaborate if you'd like. But number one, what is your superpower or unique natural ability?
The first time someone asked me this question, I had no idea what the answer to that was. And now I know so clearly what it is. And it's being a connector. I love connecting people. So that's my superpower.
Excellent. That's a good one. If you were to go back 3 to 5 years, what might you have done differently that you wish you could have?
What Jeff Hoffman said, I would have planned a scale. I'd go back further than that. I'd have planned an exit and a scale from every single venture I've been in and gone all in and exited and scaled and exited different business.
Okay. And then where are you headed in the next 3 to 5 years?
It's a lot of scale right now for the two businesses. For the laundromat, we hope to grow that to 50 plus units in the next 5 years, including with partnerships with other operators right there. And with Legacy Journal, it's to grow to 10 million users in the next 5 years.
Excellent. I'd like to take a little sidestep here. Are you kind of out of interest? Are you doing the laundromat business just locally, or are you trying to go national?
Well, right now we're all in West Texas, and then we'll expand through more Texas. But after we get our first five open, we've got about a dozen people that want to partner with us, that want to be operators with our model. And so we've got a JV model that will go in with people, and it's not a franchise, it's an equity JV. And so we're going to be rolling that out around the country.
Excellent. And then for the journal app, I'm curious a little bit more about that. So another sidestep. So excuse the brain pick, pause. How do you reach that many people on an app, and how are you going to market to that many people?
That's the $1 million question right there is how do we do that? And we're working through that right now on different traction channels. So tomorrow I've got a news feature going out on Canadian global network, Canadian TV. So press and PR is picking us up on a number of things. I'll tell you, so for anyone listening, if this resonates with you, here's how. Let's say you know Ellen or you know Oprah, get Ken an introduction and a seat on one of those tables right there. And then that helps get exposure. But I mean, really, that sounds kind of like I'm being funny, but I'm being dead serious. So if I can use 6 degrees of separation to get me in front of the right people that have the right audience and that hear this message that resonates with them, that's how we start to really get in front of those people.
Absolutely. And I hope we can help you with that.
Thank you.
So let us know if someone listening knows Oprah, cause I'd also like to know.
Perfect.
So carrying on, what is your favorite book on business or money?
Think and Grow Rich. I know that that one just hit me so hard when I read it, and I didn't read it until I was 40 years old. And when I read it, I was like, oh my God. And I don't know. It's exactly a business or money. It's a little bit of both a business and money book. So that's mine.
Excellent. Yep. That's a good one for sure. And then what has been your biggest aha moment?
I'll just tell you about one of the best moments of my life. How about that?
Sure.
And this was 7 years ago. I know exactly where I was, sitting down at my desk, kind of doing a little bit of work at my home office right there. And my daughter, who was 12 at the time, came and sat down on my lap, and she put her arms around my neck, and she said, "Daddy, when I grow up, I want to marry a man just like you." And so you talk about an aha moment. That told me I was doing something right. Right. Everything that you don't know as a dad, you're like, man, I'm doing the best I can with the tools I've got right here. I don't know if I'm making the right decisions and setting the right example. But man, when she said that, it made me feel so warm inside, and I really felt like I was doing it right.
Awesome. Yeah, that's certainly something that would melt your heart, I'm sure.
100%.
Man, I hope mine does that tonight.
Let her listen to this podcast. Yeah.
I don't know. We're at the 10-year-old phase right now where we're the worst people in the world. So we'll hope to get to that point.
Oh, you'll get there.
All right, Ken. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Grateful for the conversation. And of course, we'll link up to your app information in the show notes for anyone who wants to check out Legacy Journal.
I love it, Adam. I love what you guys are doing, the niche you're in. I think you are in the right place at the right time. So keep up that great work.
We appreciate it, Ken. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of the Wealth Watchers Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lundy. For my co-host, Justin Hoggett, and I, thanks for listening.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. And until next time.
This has been the Wealth Watchers Podcast. If you enjoyed this content, please subscribe and leave a review on your podcast player of choice. Join us on Facebook, where our members and guests are actively engaging in discussions on wealth-growing strategies by searching for Wealth Watchers Community on Facebook.